Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I want to welcome everybody to the program today. For those of you who are living in Southern California, I think you'll agree with me that it's been really cold here. In fact, I thought last night when my husband and I were out looking at Christmas shops and lights that I was back in New York because I had gloves on and my hands are still cold. So I didn't sign on for this when I moved to Southern California, but, well, I can live with it for a couple of more days. So I hope all of you are doing well. Today we're going to have, a really good program. We're going to have fun and talk about the holidays and how the holidays and ADHD sometimes really don't mix because of the added stress that all of us feel. My guest today is Jenna Knight, and she's an ADD coach in Massachusetts, so a long way off. And the name of her company is Never Defeated Coaching. She wrote an e-book, for the triggers of Christmas and coping skills. So we're going to spend some time talking about that. We're also going to spend some time just finding out a little bit about Jenna. For those of you who don't know her, she's on Facebook on many different groups and different pages. So we'll find out a little bit about what she does. In addition to that, two things I wanted to remind you about. For those of you who live in the Los Angeles area, every Wednesday night we have an adult support group that I run for CHAD, Children and Adults with ADD. It's at the Center for Learning Unlimited, 2785 Pacific Coast Highway in Torrance, California. And it starts at 7:30 and goes to 9 on December 18th. We're actually going to have a Christmas party. So if any of you are in the listening area and want to come and join us and find out a little bit more about what we do, there's a lot of growth that goes on in this group and a lot of love and acceptance, which I remember my older son, who was on the show last week with hypomania, he really took a liking to the group and felt that there was just a lot of acceptance and trust and love there. And I think that's what we all need, especially the adults that have lived our lives in a negative place. So please come by and join us. We'd love to have you. It's only $5 a person. In addition to that, I just want to remind everybody that my book is now for sale. It's called ADD Land, The Gift of ADD, and it's for sale on Amazon. You can also buy it on my website. You just go to my website, missadd.com, and click on the store, and you can order the book through that. So I think we have Jenna on the phone. Is that right? No, my producer says not yet. But in addition to that, those of you who would like to contact me, you can do so on my website at missadd.com, or you can also contact me on my Facebook page, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you. I Skype with people around the country in addition to doing sessions one-on-one here in Torrance, California, where my office is. So we're just waiting for Jenna to call in. Like I said before, she is calling in from Massachusetts. I think this
I'm
is
here.
Her. Okay, you're here. Yay, Jenna. I wasn't sure what happened
Hi.
To you. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're doing great. We're a little cold. I was telling everybody. It was 39 degrees here this morning. That's not supposed
wow.
to happen. I know. It's really supposed to be warmer here, but we're going to live with it for a few days and get in the Christmas spirit.
Well, we're,
so I guess,
it sounds like we're going to get a storm tonight, so yay.
New York is snowing right now, yeah.
I can keep it.
I'm sorry, but I think it comes up the coast. You're going to get it next.
I know.
So Jenna, can you, before we start talking about your e-book and Christmas, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company and what you do and how you got to the place you're at today.
Well, I'm an ADHD coach, and I am the founder of Never Defeated Coaching.
Okay.
I hold a bachelor's in science in urban studies from Worcester State University, and I also got a certificate in human services from Quinsigamond Community College. I completed some training through Coachville, and that's what kind of got me into the introduction of coaching, which I found it to be so fabulous. I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is my aha moment.
That's great.
And I learned about the coaching dynamics and the underlying skills and strategies that I needed to make positive differences in the lives of adults with ADHD. I am in the process of taking further coaching training through the ADD Coaching Academy. But before I started coaching, I have been involved with the Massachusetts Rehabilitation Commission since 2004 as an advocate for consumers with learning disabilities and ADHD.
Great.
And what we do is we kind of identify and address the employment needs of consumers with learning disabilities and ADHD. So I saw that there's such a need for services for this population. I'm like, oh, this would be a great career for me. So that's kind of how I started.
Great. Great. And you love what you do. I can tell you do.
Yeah. I mostly work with women. I also do work with men sometimes. But I absolutely, it's been such a joy seeing my clients blossom like a lotus flower. It's amazing.
I know. It's really a blessing,
like,
when you get to see that. It really is.
Yeah, and they thank me for it. I'm like, well, I didn't do anything. You are the ones who are taking the steps. You are the ones.
You're doing the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they still
thank
me anyway. So I'm like, that's okay.
That's okay. You can take the credit. Yeah, because you know what? I think what we do is we kind of put them on a track that they need to be on. And, you know, as I say to people that I see privately as well, and even in the group that I run on Wednesday nights, if you do the work, you're going to get better. But if you just expect me to fix you, that isn't going to work, because I don't fix anybody. I just give the tools to people to do better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you decided, I guess, to put together this ebook because of the stress that people go through during the holidays, especially in our population with ADHD?
Well, the ebook I put together is a combination. The holiday, my e-guide that's out there for under holiday stress is not in this new one. It's called Managing Adult ADHD, Practical Tools and Strategies for Dealing with Everyday Life. This is just a combination of the e-guides I have created on a diverse range of topics, such as slowing down the ADHD mind, ways to overcome frustration, discouragement, dealing with social situations, time management, workplace issues. So I put them all together in this one kind of e-book, and I put it together. I had a great editor who was so helpful to me.
Great.
Yeah, and it's going to be out December 18th.
Terrific.
It's going to be on Kindle. It's going to be available on my website. And there's going to be other some other links that you can get this ebook.
So people can download it and do a PDF with it too?
Yes. PDF, okay. Microsoft Word, either one.
Okay. So, but there was a specific piece of the ebook that was dealing with the holidays, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's really what I wanted to talk about today, and also we can go into the other pieces of the book. But let's just start out with the holidays, and let's talk about, we were talking about this in my group on Wednesday nights. I threw out, what are your triggers for the holidays? And a lot of people, this is very interesting, said, you're supposed to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really very true. If you think about, for all the years we've been alive and for all the Christmases and Hanukkahs and Thanksgivings and all the holidays we've been through, New Year's is a big one, there's a lot of people out there who feel like they have to be happy, and I think that's why this is the biggest time of year for suicides as well, especially for those people who have had losses during the year, or, you know, they've not only personal losses, but they've lost a job, they don't have enough money, we just always come back to that theme of, you know, happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that?
Yes, and I also, it's also more than that. People with ADHD also need, we're used to having structure and routines. And
right.
Without, you know, with all the holiday chaos, sensory overload, and, you know, all this mind-blowing stuff that goes on, it can just create a total meltdown for us.
Exactly. Yeah, it really can. Because you're right, because the structure piece during this time seems to go away because we sometimes procrastinate, dare I say, about
mm-hmm.
things that we really need to get done, and it becomes a sensory overload for us.
Mm-hmm. We also get overwhelmed, too. It's like...
Yeah, which is just not good, because when we get overwhelmed, we shut down.
Yep.
And then absolutely nothing gets done until Christmas Eve. I can't tell you, looking back on my life, the number of times when I worked in Manhattan that I was in Macy's on 34th Street on Christmas Eve doing Christmas shopping.
Wow.
When I look back, and I wasn't even diagnosed at that point, because I wasn't diagnosed till I was 40, and I was in my late 20s then, I'm thinking, I really have to be crazy, but I never got anything done on time.
Mm-hmm.
That was back years ago. I mean, of course, my life is very different because I'm really got it together now, but back then, it was very scary. As I look back, I didn't realize I had ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were your Christmases like?
My Christmases were like, I don't know, they were kind of calm, cool, and collective. I wasn't diagnosed officially till I was 28. So I just went with the flow.
Okay.
I don't remember any really big blowouts. Well, I can remember Thanksgiving, staying off the topic, but it's kind of a holiday thing.
Yeah.
Me and my mom had a thing for Fritos. You're going to get a
okay.
kick out of this one. And it's kind of a treat for us because my mother always wanted me to eat healthy. So she put them in the oven, okay? Yeah, you can imagine where you're going to go with this one. She put them in the oven. I had a big family when I was younger. We're kind of all, but anyways. And we turned on the oven to preheat it for the big turkey that we're supposed to have all these people over our house.
Yeah,
we were
the Fritos.
We were in the living room, and our dog started going crazy. Like, what is your problem, dog? And she's barking and trying to run around in circles and trying to show us. And we're like, something smells like it's burning. So we go into the kitchen. The whole kitchen is full of smoke.
Oh no!
Me and my mother just looked at each other and just started cracking up laughing. We forgot to take out the bag of Fritos.
Oh my God! Was
so
everything
opened,
okay? Did you?
Oh, it gets better. We opened up the oven door. Woof! There's a big flame. So, Thanksgiving morning, we had the fire department at our house, and we had to tell them why the oven was on fire.
What did they say?
They just sat there and laughed. And what was even worse, my mother grew up in this small town, so she knew a lot of the firemen. So
yes.
It was kind of even more embarrassing. Like, I went to school with their kids type of thing, and I'm like, oh, man. So we kind of moved Thanksgiving that year to another person's house.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. So, because you couldn't use the – you, of course, couldn't use the stove.
No.
Oh, my God. That's a great story. Hey, was your mom – do you think your mom, if she's still alive, I don't know.
Nope.
Did she have or did she – Oh, did she have ADHD? Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
She,
did
she didn't have
didn't.
ADHD. That's the weird thing about it. It wasn't. We have in my family there are some children who are diagnosed with Asperger's, but ADHD, no.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you're the only one.
Yep. And they say it's hereditary. I don't. On my father's side, I really don't know. It could be possible, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because in my adult support group, one of the things we're working on is emotional individuation, which I've done a lot of podcasts on. And because I noticed, as I'm sure you noticed, that a lot of people in our population just emotionally never grow up. And one of the things that I had them do, all of them, was a genogram to just go back and look at their families. And a lot of them, after talking to people in their family, discovered that there were people that they never knew that had ADHD. And so it's very interesting. They learned a lot about mental disorders and also a lot about substance abuse that a lot of them just never knew existed. And, you know, it's a process of untethering yourself to those kind of situations in the past so that you can individuate and become an adult. And a lot of people in our population just never do that, you know. So it's something that I think is important. But I'm sure maybe if you did spoke with some people and did a genogram, you might find that somebody back down there somewhere had ADHD.
Most likely.
Yeah. Is your dad still alive?
No.
And there was no chance
of indication. Everybody was telling me that he was a very, very busybody. He always got into everything. Even when he retired, he always tried to keep himself busy, and he had several projects going on at once. And I'm like, so he could have had it.
Yeah, you don't know. The whole several projects going on at one time. You just don't know. Did you have siblings?
I am the
only. So you're an only child. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so let's try to stay on topic here, and let's talk a little bit about triggers that come up for people during this time of year, besides the feeling of, I need to be happy. And you talked about structure. What about going out and shopping with a limited amount of money in your pocket? Because money can be an issue for all of us as well.
They say that finances are the number one stressor during the holiday. So what I recommend is to make a list of the people that you have to buy for and set an amount of dollar for each person and shop specifically for specific items for that person. And so it'll cut down on impulsive spending, and it also saves so much time, you know, driving and wrapping and mailing and all that stuff.
Oh, sure it does. Yeah, absolutely. Do you suggest that people shop online?
I find it easier for myself. I just buy everybody a gift card.
That's a great idea. I have a whole bunch
of presents. Gift cards, so easy. You buy a box of cards. That might sound really cheap, but buy a real nice Hallmark, those box cards that you can get, and just shoving them in there. You know, if I'm going to go to the family's house, you know, I'll put them on a Christmas tree, you know, and say, oh, happy Merry Christmas from Auntie Janos, whatever.
So, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I really do. And there are other one of the things I noticed last year, Costco has handmade cards.
Really?
That are really very nice. They're cheap. And besides Hallmark is what I'm talking about. It's an added pleasure to send those out, too, because they're handmade. They're very pretty. Do you have a Costco near you?
No. We got a Sam's. We have BJ's.
Okay.
So kind of the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I don't know how much on the East Coast they are. I know BJ's, when I used to live on the East Coast, was there in Sam's. But anyway, so that's just another idea. But one of the things that I think is really, really important, we spoke before about how this time of year can be a really big time for, it's the biggest time for people to commit suicide. And so I think one of the things I want to talk about a little bit is just having the empathy for other people who had a difficult year and being sensitive to those people. And I understand that we have ADHD, but we have to really start to look at other people and think about them during this time of year as well and reach out and see if there's anything that we can do to help them, which really gets us off ourselves and onto others, which can be very helpful in our population. Sometimes we spend too much time up in our own thoughts. That's why I use mindfulness with everybody I work with. And that's the other thing we need to start doing during this time of year is using mindfulness to stay in the moment because it's very peaceful in the moment. And I know that when you and I spoke before we decided what the topic was going to be, we talked a little bit about mindfulness. And it's something that UCLA probably about 10 years ago really started to look into for ADHD and OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. And it can be very, very helpful, especially for those who cannot take medication in the adult population, because there are some people who cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, just reaching out to other people during this time of year can be helpful as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
With the mindfulness, this could kind of relate to it. I don't know too much about mindfulness yet. I'm still in the process of learning a whole bunch of stuff, which I absolutely love because I love to
learn.
But anyways, if a person doesn't have family or any friends to go to, another thing that could stay in the moment and try is maybe volunteer somewhere. Maybe at a homeless shelter or a soup kitchen. I can remember one year I volunteered at a soup kitchen, and they had their annual Christmas party a week before Christmas. And the soup kitchen got donations from all over the place. They got coats, they got hats and mittens, they got toys for the kids. And they had a nice Christmas meal, and after that we passed out gifts. And just seeing the smile on their faces to get a new pair of hat and gloves, for the kids to get a toy, one toy, it kind of made my day. So doing something positive too, because we always tend, especially this time of year, we always tend to focus on the negative of everything.
Well, that's very true, and I think that part of the reason that I've found that people with ADHD tend to focus on the negative, and not only during this time of year, is because that's a lot of what they've heard through their life. And this is where the mindfulness really comes into play and can get you to that positive place if you really do the work, because it takes work to get into mindfulness and make it work. But, your point about the soup kitchen is great, or there's the mission here downtown where people go and, give donations, or there's many homeless people that are all over the country.
Yep.
And it's very, very sad during this time of year. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about coping skills for the holidays. And then I have a couple of questions that some of my listeners have posted on my website, so I want to talk about those as well. But I think that we need to really have strong coping skills because, as you said, a lot of our structure can go away during this time of year just simply because of the time of year, because we're multitasking, we're running around doing things that we don't normally do. We're driving sometimes, we can get out of focus. In fact, one of my clients had a car accident the other day. She was so sad. She did not see the red blinking lights at the railroad crossing. And she's okay. She's fine. But she ended up, when the gate came down, it hit her car because she didn't stop soon enough. And she told me that she was kind of thinking about happy things, which is, a great thing, but you got to focus on driving. So I think during this time of year, we can also lose focus doing that. So let's talk about, we've got a ton of things to do. It's 3 weeks left or 2 weeks left before the holidays, before Christmas. What's the coping skills? What do we do?
For me personally, I make a list of everything that, and I break it down into chunks.
Okay.
I make a list, and you can even do this with house cleaning too, is write down if it's a big project, you know, that you have to do, maybe putting up the Christmas tree, that could be very overwhelming.
Yes.
Kind of take your to-do list and then break it down again into smaller steps. So
right.
when you look at the list, it won't be so overwhelming and you won't be going, oh, my God, this is, I can't do this.
Right.
You know, so that's one.
Right.
And another one that everybody, I should take my own advice sometimes, is take care of yourself.
Yes.
If you take, like, yoga classes or you exercise, just continue to do it because this is keeping you centered and energized. And
yes.
it'll just keep you calm and cool and collective.
Yes. I think you're right. And especially during this time of year when we get, again, all stressed out, taking care of yourself, that self-care
uh-huh.
is really big. People can even meditate. There's thousands of meditation apps on the phone,
uh-huh.
and they have introduction to meditation that people can listen to. And, you know, they have little bells that go off in your phone that help you during the day to stay in the moment if you come out of the moment. There's all these different things. As you said, yoga is a big one because it keeps you centered. So it's really powerful. And I think, you know, besides making a list, which is a wonderful idea, I think that we need to slow ourselves down during this time of year
mm-hmm.
because we're rushing around a lot. So we need to take that extra time to slow down, not only when we're driving, but also when we're in a store. We're trying to get things done and we're rushing around. And, you know, I know you had talked about making a list and putting, what you're going to spend next to every name, which is a wonderful idea. And so I know so many people, this is so funny. I have a client this morning who came to me specifically to talk about medication because I have a wealth of knowledge where medication is concerned. I don't recommend, but I can discuss with people about medication. And he left his list home of what he wanted to talk about. So, I mean, you know, it's funny because I laugh about everything because I find humor. If you don't laugh, it's going to be that yes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying what happens if they leave the list home. They've traveled a long way to get to a particular group of stores, and now what do they do? It's very funny, but it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, do they try to recreate the list from memory, or do they go back home and get the list, or do they just try to look around and see what makes sense and, you know, keep themselves on a budget knowing how much money in total they were going to spend?
I would take the extra 5 to 10 minutes to go home and get it because you don't...
If it's 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In California, it could be an hour and a half. Traffic here,
yeah,
as it is in Boston and Massachusetts, is horrific.
Oh, it's yeah. Terrible.
So, I mean, there's it's just food for thought to people to think about these kind of things because when we're stressed, we're going to lose things. That's the other thing. I notice people that I work with, I'm sure you see this too, when the stress increases, they lose their keys, they lose their phone, they can't find their wallet. And if we're adding stress on top of stress during the holidays, this is why it's so important, my feeling is, to really be aware of where you're putting things. So take that extra second or two when you're putting your phone somewhere to just really be aware of it. Don't just take it and put it somewhere without being aware of where it is or your keys or your wallet.
Well,
and that's what the whole mindfulness thing is so powerful with, cutting down on the stress.
Talking about finding your keys, I was in Target this afternoon, and I saw it's a new thing. It's called Key Finder.
Oh. What does it do?
I didn't take it out of the box. I just saw it, and I think it's, you put a bat, it's like one of those beep beep things for your car.
And oh, yeah.
I think it does the same thing for your keys. So
that's really funny.
It's on my Facebook page.
took a picture of it, and I said, oh, this is a perfect gift for an ADDer, and I'm just sitting there laughing. I'm like, wow.
That's great. You should buy a whole bunch of them for your clients. That's very funny.
I know. I never thought about that.
It's very funny. I like that. I really do.
Another thing that could really help out is to delegate.
Yes, right.
Different things to people. People, your family, let's say, I don't know, putting up the Christmas tree, have one child put up these type of decorations, or it depends on the family, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that having the kids help out, you know, whether the kids are ADD or not,
mm-hmm.
I think it gives them specific jobs, and it becomes a family Christmas that are really start to put together traditions. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I often encourage people to have traditions that they do every year, and so their kids can look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really a fun thing to do. But delegating, you're right, giving everybody in the family something to do. You know, what I used to try to do is get the kids to wrap, you know, each other's presents so I could, you know, not have to wrap every single present that went under the tree
mm-hmm.
when the kids were younger. And that, you know, that was fun for them. They enjoyed doing that. But don't critique it, you know. Like, I work
yep.
with kids, and, you know, one of the things with kids you have to be very careful with ADD is don't criticize them. You know, make them feel like they are having successes. I'm not telling the people who are listening not to be real about things with their kids. If they're not doing something right, then tell them, but use words of kindness when you tell them. And, you know, don't say critical things, because I don't know about you, Jenna, but I grew up with a lot of criticism, and that was difficult for me, especially in the school setting. So, you know, I want the kids to feel good about themselves. So if they wrap something, it doesn't have to be perfect. So I think that's so let me get to some of these questions that I have. And
okay.
one of them is specifically for you. It says, tell me what specifically you do for your clients that are ADD. Can you explain that?
Okay. I do a lot of different things with my clients. There's so many things I do.
Okay, we'll just touch upon a few. Yeah.
One of the things is setting priorities. I have seen that that has been really, really big for a lot
yeah.
of my clients. That and kind of time management type
yes.
of thing.
Yeah.
So what I do with my clients is I have them write out their master list.
Okay,
like topics. One client I have, it was personal, work, housework, school, and then there was a fifth one. And she did that. And then I had her set priorities for each of them by a number. One is the most important, five is the least important. And
okay.
She said, okay, that's cool. I can do this.
Right.
And then under that, I have them set what specific tasks they have to do. And
okay.
Whether, like, for schoolwork, she had to do some reading, she had some homework to do. So that's how I have them do that. And I had them do that through 1 through 5. I have them do the 1s and 2s first, and then go into the 3s and 4s after the following week, because I want them to get really overwhelmed.
Right.
So when I met up with her the next week, I asked her, how did it work? What happened? What didn't happen? And she says it worked perfectly for her. She says it gives, and by the way, she also put it in her calendar also.
Oh, good.
Well, that's one thing I forgot to mention. And she found it gives her structure.
Great.
It gives her a sense of routine. And she's just doing fantastic now. That's all she really needed was just that little oomph.
That's great.
Yep.
And so, okay, so time management is a big one, and prioritizing is huge for people with with ADHD. What else do you work on procrastination? How do you help people with procrastination?
I haven't really came across any clients with that yet. It's mostly the time management and the organizing. For example, I have another client who has had a problem with just cleaning. And she said to me, oh, my God, I get so overwhelmed looking at it. I freak out, and she shuts down. And when she shuts down, she just sits on her bed and totally forgets about them and just focuses on video games and playing on the computer. I said to her, instead of looking at the whole picture, just take one small section. It could be any part of the room that they want, just one small section, and do that. And then I asked her, how did it make her feel? And she's like, fantastic. She cleaned off her desk. She cleaned off all the paperwork off her work desk. And she's like, I have a desk I can work on. I can find things now. So that's another thing.
Now, I find it fascinating that you haven't had anybody with procrastination. I think we all need to move to the East Coast, because procrastination is such a big, it's such a big negative symptom of ADHD. It's one of the biggest things that I deal with day in and day out with people that I work with. And so for those of you who are listening who do procrastinate, one of the things that I do is this whole mindfulness thing is so amazing, because procrastination stems from engaging in thoughts that come up. So if you have something to do and your mind is telling you, no, I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to go out, or I'm going to play video games, or I'm going to watch TV or whatever. If you engage in that thought, then you're not going to get the work done. If you just notice that thought, and what I tell people is stand up and get your mind out of that place, release that thought, and then get back to doing what it is you need to be doing. Because procrastination can be very big in this population. I mean, we just say, I'm not going to do it, and we don't get it done. And I see it a lot with kids and adolescents I work with who wait to the last minute to, you know, study for a test. They're cramming for exams. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life, Jenna, but I certainly have.
When I
was younger, I would cram. That's, you know, basically what procrastination is all about, because we – And then we justify it by saying, see, I did well on the test, so I can wait. I can cram. Yeah. So what else do you work with besides that with people? Do you have anybody who has an issue with emotional regulation? Because ADD is a disability of regulation. So our emotions come over us like tidal waves, and then we have to figure out how to deal with them. Do you have any of that?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I have one client right now. We worked in the beginning when I started working with her. She always said she can't.
Right.
And it was kind of her belief system. It's like it was programmed in her brain that she can't do something.
Right.
And we found a way to filter out those thoughts from being negative to positive.
Right.
And
so don't say can't anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing that she did do was she started self-talking. You know, she's saying, yeah.
It's good. They're mantras. They're great. I can do it. Yeah.
Yep. And she found, like, she was doing it, and then she was doing the task, and she asked for help. She never did that before. So it's kind of filtering all those negative thoughts into positive ones has done wonders for her.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah. So let me give you another question, and I think that it's for both of us, but let me read it to you and you answer it first. I am a 30-year-old woman, and I work in an office. I'm involved in a lot of functions. In the past, I would say yes to everything because I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. How do I not feel so much pressure to say yes?
Ooh. You want to go first on this one? I have to think about that.
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. So, you know, I think, again, it goes back to what you were talking about before, and that is, in our world, we tend to say yes because we have a very difficult time saying no, and saying yes to everything overwhelms us. And in the overwhelming process, we tend to shut down. For myself, years ago, I lost a lot of friends because when I was in my 20s, people would call me up to meet them somewhere, to do something with them, and I'd say yes to everybody who called. And what would happen is I would end up not going anywhere. I'd end up staying home. So I think, you know, one of the things you want to do is really think before you answer. It's the impulsive piece of we're saying yes too quickly. Think about what it is the person is asking you to do and say to them, you know what? Is it okay if I get back to you tomorrow? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, do you agree with that, Jenna?
Yes, I was just going to say the same exact thing. And
yeah.
Say, oh, let me look at my I don't have my calendar in front of me. Let me get back to you within 24 hours about A, B, and C. And that will give the person enough time to think about, okay, do I have enough time to do it? You know, so.
Right, because then I think then we get into time management. So if somebody's, especially during the holidays, where we do sometimes end up being invited to different holiday parties,
mm-hmm.
and my mantra for those of you who are listening is really try not to do more than one a night. Because if you try to cram more than one party in a night, that's going to be a little difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no drinking when we're driving.
No.
Not a good idea.
No, it's
all right,
not.
Here's the next question. I'm a 23-year-old woman. I have been with my boyfriend for 2 years. How do I deal with the where do you go for Christmas morning problem question, my parents or his or both? How do we figure this out? This is a really good question. What do you think?
I would sit down and look at the pros and cons of going to who you go first.
Okay. So what do you mean by that?
Maybe I said that the wrong way. These are good questions.
Yeah.
Get me stumped.
Well, you know what I think is happening for something like this is you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and it's a boyfriend, and you're trying, and you're not engaged yet, and you're trying to do both families. First thing I would do is I, as the girl in the relationship, I would talk to my parents and say, look, I know you want me here for Christmas and I want to be here, but I think we need to start being a little more flexible about timing if we can, you know, because I have a boyfriend now and his parents have Christmas too. So it's what's really going to suck is if they're both at the same time. So what you try to do, I think, is work as the girl, maybe talk to your parents first. And then, you know, also ask your boyfriend to talk to his parents and see if you can kind of make it work. If it's impossible and it's going to cause a lot of issues, then, you know, I think you just have to figure out 1 year you go to one set of parents, the next year you go to the other. I'm sure most parents would be flexible about maybe changing the time a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Would you? I mean, I would be flexible if I had to do that.
I'm a very flexible person, so.
Yeah.
And
so what do you think?
I agree with you on that. I don't really I'm not really knowledgeable yet about relationships in ADHD, so it's kind of a, I don't want to say something that I don't have strong knowledge about.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that in terms of ADHD, this can be anybody that
That's
has this
true.
Problem. It's not even somebody with ADHD. I mean, around the Christmas holidays or Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, New Year's can be very stressful for everybody, not only people with ADHD. And the family thing can be very difficult to navigate because we don't want to let anybody down, and there's a lot of pressure. I mean, it's interesting because my husband's son didn't come to us nor to his mom for Thanksgiving, and I think part of it was because he couldn't handle the pressure he was feeling about being at everybody's on Thanksgiving. And, you know, my husband and I are real good at not putting pressure on our kids. We tell them, you do what you need to do. But I think they feel like they're going to let us down if they don't show up. I mean, this is just kids in general. So as parents out there who are listening to this, I think one of the things you might want to do for your older children who are dating seriously is tell them that it's okay. You know, what do you need in this whole thing? Especially if you have a child with ADHD, because you're going to really stress them out if you put a lot of pressure on them. So if you can put yourself more or less a little bit on the back burner and just talk to them about what they need, I think that would really, really go far. So, okay, let's go to the next question. I am recently a mother-daughter, 9 months old. I'm recently a mother of a daughter, 9 months old. Both sides of the family, my side and my husband's side, all want us to come over. How do I say yes to one, and how do I say no to the other? Okay, so it's the same thing. Now we have a bigger problem because there's a grandchild involved. And how about you invite everybody to your house and they do all the cooking? I mean,
or have everybody join in to do the cooking together.
That's what I mean.
Know?
Yeah, that the two sets of parents come over and cook for you and make Christmas dinner for you. You have a baby. It would be hard for you to do all of this alone. It's not like you wouldn't be doing any of it. But this way everybody's together if everybody gets along. See, there's the other piece of this. Is family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because we marry into a family doesn't necessarily mean that our family and their family are going to get along.
Mm-hmm.
There may be resentments or things that went on that, you know, countless different things that could cause those kind of situations to arise. But for the most part, I think where there's grandchildren, for example, my husband's daughter just had a baby this year, and so for this Christmas, we're actually going to go to her Christmas Eve so we can see the baby and not have her drag the baby over to us on Christmas Day, because they live about an hour from us, and in California, that can be 3 hours worth of driving. So,
wow.
Yeah, because the traffic can get very bad. So we just, you know, you really want to put the new parents and the baby first so that everything runs smoothly for everybody. You know, and I think that that's, no matter if you're ADD or not, I think that's really a good thing to do in terms of establishing strong relationships with your older child or in-laws and making them feel like you're not putting demands on them that are going to be overwhelming. Okay. So let me see. Do we have another one? Yes, we do. I'm a 26-year-old woman, and recently my boyfriend and I broke up about a month ago. I am feeling very lonely. See, this is the bad part of year. What do I do? So you want to start?
try to stay positive and try to get involved with your friends. You know, and go out and do positive things. Like I was saying before, if I'm not saying that she doesn't have no friends or family, if she wants to volunteer, and just try to stay positive. Keep on, don't let those negative beliefs and thoughts get to you. Just try to stay positive as much as you can.
Right.
And
now, one of the red flags for me, though, in being a therapist is I'm feeling very lonely. And so what I would suggest too to her, besides the positive thoughts, which is great, is to get to a therapist for some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find somebody or a coach that you can talk to that can help you sort out all the feelings that you're having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think especially during this time of year, if you're really feeling very lonely, you can get depressed very easily. and you don't want to fall into that energy pattern of depression. You know, there are many people that have severe chemical imbalances, and, you know, that's a whole nother story. But sometimes we just start feeling very lonely and depressed, and then unless we have somebody that's objective that we can talk to, like I'm sure with your clients, you get into some of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Their feelings
I don't really go into really deep details
right.
with them
right.
because I'm not a therapist. I'm
right.
not a licensed social worker. I just talk about, like, I can't do it. And we talk about how it relates to ADHD.
Right.
So I have a boundaries that I have to be careful with.
Right. No, and I understand that because I remember I've been coaching for a long time, and there was a period of time during my early years that I did not have a degree. And so
mm-hmm.
I used to stick to organizational skills and study skills and, you know, behavior modification, but I really rarely got in. If there was somebody that came to me that was depressed, I would refer them out pretty quickly.
Yeah,
to
I would
somebody
say,
else.
I would recommend that that person get in touch with their therapist, or I can give them some phone numbers of local places around here that they can go to.
So what kind of places do you have around by you that people can go to if they're having some situations with mental disorders?
There's several different organizations. One of the major hospitals out here, I'd rather not say, but they have outpatient therapists and people.
Oh, great.
Doctors who give out the medication. And they also have anger management groups. And they also have DBT.
Yes, I do that. I do DBT with my group, diagnostic. Dialectical behavioral therapy. Yes, it is. They started that for borderline
yep.
personality disorder
about
20 years ago. Yeah, that's how that started. In fact, the person who started DBT is actually borderline herself. She's she did a wonderful job with that book, because when I spoke before about emotional regulation in our population, that's
mm-hmm.
a book I use with my clients privately and in group, because it's such an incredible book, and it helps you to learn how to regulate your emotions through dealing with what's in front of you and what's reality. It's an amazing
mm-hmm.
book. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to go through it, but if you haven't,
no.
I would suggest you get it, because it's really a great book.
Oh, good.
So they do the DBT groups there. That's great.
Yes, they have anger management, and I know that the woman who runs the anger management is also doing groups now for couples with anger management. So that's pretty cool. I don't really know too much about the other ones, but there are maybe 25 to 30 organizations in Worcester who just does that specifically. So.
Oh, okay. So is this for free from the hospital?
No.
You have
to have some sort of insurance.
Okay. Is there anything around you that you know of that people can go to for free?
Not really.
Yeah, that's really sad, yeah.
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 And there's no, unfortunately, this is really sad, but there's really no places that specifically works with people with ADHD. Well, there's Dr. Kevin Murphy. He's out in Northborough, which is about a half hour, 45 minutes away from Worcester. And
okay.
What if people don't have a car?
Yeah. See, that's,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of people around here rely on the public transportation, so they have to go to places where that they can get to.
Right. Because do you have CHAD by you, children and adults, with ADHD?
They have a chapter in Metro West, which is Framingham area, but not directly in Worcester.
How far is Framingham from you?
Half hour, 45 minutes.
Okay. So do you ever get over to their chapter at all?
No, I think – no, I don't even know. I tried to contact the person who ran it, but they told me that she doesn't – this person doesn't run it anymore, and I haven't had a chance to follow up.
Okay. Yeah, because Chad is great for the people that are listening around the country. If you haven't researched Chad and you want to look up where they are, it's, you know, CHADD, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. And, you know, they really it can be very, very helpful for resources, all different kinds of resources. If you're looking for therapists, if you're looking for people that can advocate for you, if you're looking for psychiatrists, if you're just looking for a group to get together, they usually have monthly speaker meetings. We have them here, and also I run support groups for them. You know, there's all different things that when you're feeling, when your child first gets diagnosed or you as an adult get diagnosed initially, sometimes there's that feeling of angst, you know. Of course, I see this as a gift because, you know, we're all so highly creative and we're an elite population. We're an out-of-the-box thinkers and just amazing people. But initially, it can just be, you can be blindsided by it. And I don't know, how did you feel when you first got diagnosed?
I was, and it's kind of an aha moment, and it kind of explained why A, B, and C happened. Like, yeah, I get it. This is why it all happened. I'm not stupid. I'm not crazy. I can actually focus now on things. I used to work down the library when I was my undergrad. I used to work in a library, and I tried to study. I used to work in the reference desk, and I couldn't stay focused at all. And when I heard something come in, I'd be up looking around, and I would go back to my studying, and I realized that, oh, I've been reading the same page over and over and over again.
Yeah. So I can relate.
So when I actually was, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the reason why I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that, and now I realize that I can.
So are you on medication?
Yes, I am.
What do you take?
I'm on Zatera.
Okay. Does it work?
Yes, it works fabulous.
Wow, that's great.
Yep, I think with the different ADHD medications, like for me personally, when I was on Adderall, I've been on every ADHD medication out there. Been on every single one.
Okay, that's great. Most people tell me this too, yeah.
Oh, and I realized that the Adderall is kind of, because ADHD is just more than the frontal lobe. It's a little bit over here, a little bit over there.
Right.
And it doesn't break down the way it's supposed to. You know, you get a little bit here, but with the Zatera, it's kind of focuses right on my inattention. So my concentration, my focus is like 100%.
Okay. Well, that's great. It's really great to hear because personally, in working with many different people for the past 21 years, I haven't found a lot of people that Strattera worked very well for. So I'm really happy to hear that. No, I haven't. It's very interesting. I'm happy to hear that because it's a non-stimulant, and there's so many people, you know, in when you get up into my age bracket that we really can't take stimulants. I've been off my medication, though. I was on 30 milligrams of Adderall for a long time, and when I did all this work with mindfulness, I no longer need my stimulant medication. And I'm focused, and I'm, you know, don't procrastinate, and I get things done, and I follow through, and I can regulate my emotions. And that's why I am such an incredible proponent for mindfulness. It's just really amazing. So it's great that that works for you, and I hope that other people who are listening, if they've had a hard time with stimulants, that they ask their doctor to try that, because I think it would be great.
Yeah, I've been on it.
Okay.
I've got another question.
What'd you say?
I've been on it for about a year now, and I absolutely love it. I call it my
miracle drug. Great. I'm so happy to hear that. It's really great. Okay, so here is the another question. I am a 40-year-old mother of an 8-year-old son. I left my marriage because of spousal abuse. This time of year is hard on me and my son. My son wants to be with his dad, but I can't have contact with him, so I feel badly, I feel guilty. What do I tell my son? How do I deal with the guilt and the stress? Wow. That's a real difficult situation. You know, I think being honest is hard because he's only 8 years old, and to engage him in the fact that his father had been abusive to his mom can be difficult because, you know, it may look like to him that his mom is speaking against his father, which isn't good. But that being said, if the mother can't have contact with him and if he was abusive to her, I would be afraid that he may be abusive to the child. So I would probably try to get to therapy wherever you are. If you're in Los Angeles, you certainly can call me. If you're not, please find a therapist that can help you with this because I think you need to sit down and talk to your son. But I think first and foremost, you need to talk to an expert about how to handle this. Because I don't, you know, I can't give you that kind of advice over the phone because I don't know you or your son. And I do get your feeling of guilt, but you're doing the right thing for your son if you're holding him from his father if he has been abusive. I mean, do you agree with that, Jenna?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because that's dangerous, you know? It's very, very dangerous. And I am sorry about all the guilt and stress you're feeling. So, again, I would really suggest that you get yourself to a therapist so that she can help you. And probably find somebody who does family therapy because if you are at all, if anybody's in contact with your ex-husband, this, you know, it may be an opportunity to get him in to talk to the family therapist as well so he can understand why he can't be part of this whole Christmas time at this moment. He probably needs anger management. Okay, I've got another question. I am a divorced woman with two children, age 12 and 13. They're both boys. How do I work out the kids spending time with their father and his wife? How do I deal with my feelings of anxiety about the kids spending time with him and his wife, my feelings of loss and loneliness? Okay, so this is a very difficult thing as well, but I think you got to put the kids before you. You're the adult. The kids need time with their dad, and if he has another wife, I think they need to be asked if they would like to spend time, and if they do, by all means, don't get in the middle of that relationship that they're going to develop with his new wife. I mean, what do you think about that, Jenna?
I agree.
Yeah, and I know it's hard. I'm not trying to say it isn't difficult, especially during this time of year. Those feelings of emptiness and loss can be very difficult, but I think you got to put your kids first in these kind of situations, and if they really want to spend time with their dad and his wife, by all means, I think they need to be able to do that without you getting angry and letting them see your anger or your hurt. They're the kid, you're the adult. You start parentifying them, turning them into the parent at a young age, it isn't going to be good for your relationship in the future. So you see all these different kind of things come up around the holiday and these feelings that possibly during the year aren't as pervasive can be that way during this time of year. Do you have any children, Jenna?
Yes, I do. I have two daughters. My oldest is 21 and my youngest is 18.
Oh, that's great. Are they, either of them, ADHD?
No.
Wow.
Believe it or not. I know.
Amazing. Is your 21-year-old in college?
Yes, she is. She wants
Where is
to
she?
Go in the Brockton area.
Okay.
The southern part of Massachusetts. She wants to study forensics.
Oh, that's so great.
Yep.
That is so great.
Am
she
I
wants
up,
to go to the FBI?
Yeah, I don't know. She just wants to go into forensics. And my youngest is still in high school. She graduates next year, so she's still up in the air and like what she wants to do. So.
And neither one of them. That's very interesting.
No,
have ADD.
I know.
That's so funny. That's great. So they do well in school and they're happy?
They do fantastic in school. My youngest has been on the honor roll. My oldest has been on the dean's list. So
that's great. I'm so happy for you. Are they excited about the holidays?
Yes. Oh, it's going to be so nice to have them here.
Oh, are they? Is your oldest sleeping away at college?
Yeah.
Okay. So now they'll be back together for a long time. I guess she has Christmas break.
Yeah. It's coming
that's
up very
great.
Soon. So.
That's really great. So tell me, what else should we be telling people from your book? Let's talk a little bit more about the total ebook. How about that?
Okay.
And so what else is in it besides the things about the holiday? I know you touched upon it in the beginning, but why don't we go through that?
Okay. Some of the other things I talk about is overcoming frustration and discouragement for people with adults with ADHD.
Okay.
Let me see.
And what do you what do you recommend for that?
I have a different lot of strategies. I just lost focus. Oh my God.
That's okay. Everybody on this line understands completely. And I certainly do. Believe me.
I forgot what I kind of focus on. Oh my God, I'm doing really good. oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
Do you have the ebook nearby?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Okay, that's okay.
Give me 1 second here.
Yep.
Sorry for making. I'm sorry, everybody who's listening. Yeah,
don't worry. I'm telling you,
yeah,
everybody
I'm ADD
understands.
Yeah, ADD peoples, and I'm proud of it.
That's very funny. I like this. See, it's just real people living their real lives, and this certainly happens to me periodically too, as well. You know.
Yep, I have. Here it is.
Yay! We found
it.
Right
in front of my face. Oh my God. I hope you're gonna edit this.
No, I don't edit anything. This is what makes these shows so great. And this is why people really enjoy my podcast, because they're very real. And, you know, we have little mistakes that come up, and it's just fun. I mean, this is part of being ADD. Why would you want to have a perfect podcast when
exactly.
you have attention deficit disorder? You have to be creative.
Okay.
Okay. That's okay. The laughing makes it even better.
You got to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah, I do. I have a great day. Everybody who's listening.
I do, too.
Yeah.
So one of the things I talk about with overcoming frustration and discouragement, we've all been there, done that. It feels like, for me personally, the reason why I kind of put this stuff together is when I was putting you guys together, I was thinking back. When I was first diagnosed, what were some of my triggers? Especially going to college for the first time.
Okay.
I had bad, horrible time management, procrastination. I waited to the last minute to write a paper. I couldn't write a paper when I started it. I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going to do it on this topic. I would do all my research and then wait until the last 24 hours, and you know what's even more scary? It's not scary, but I would do fantastic doing it the night before, then rather than doing it, it's like, okay, what's wrong with this picture?
Right.
So
no, I know, but at the same time, what I try to tell people who tell me that is, at some point, you're going to fall apart. You still have to try and not procrastinate to the last minute. Because I don't care. I truly believe, and yes, we've all gotten A's, and you know, but there are other situations where I really believe when you procrastinate, you really don't do your best work.
Joe.
You can't.
So I tried.
I'm sure you got A's. I'm sure you did.
Yes,
but if you really think back on it, could it have even been better had you had more time?
Yes,
I can tell you
would,
could.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. Especially one particular, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we had to take all types of elective classes that I found some boring and so tedious I didn't want to take. I kind of skimmed through it. But anyways, going back to my overcoming frustration and discouragement, it feels like I felt like the whole world was against me and nothing was going right for me. And there are some things that I remembered, you know, from, because nobody helped me learn time management. Nobody helped me. I didn't know there's a thing called ADHD coaching. I didn't know that there was anything called behavioral modification. I didn't know anything.
Right.
I was like me reading an empty book with nothing written on it. And so I had to learn myself. I had to learn time management. I had to learn organization. So I kind of reflected back on some of the things that I went through, and one of them was overcoming frustration and discouragement. And I kind of remembered the topics in my head going way back, like, yeah, this is what I went through. And one of the things was I did not allow myself to go there. The first thing that people should do is to stop yourself from going into the place of negativity. You're not good to yourself or anybody else. When you're in that place, and once you identify these patterns or triggers, you can try to find your own solutions to make that better. Because everything, what works for me may not work for you.
Right.
So that's why I said find your own solutions. Another one was take a break. Everybody needs to take a break every once in a while. Take time away from what's causing the stress, a feeling of overwhelm.
Right.
Stepping away from some of your responsibilities, such as checking email, may cause you more distress. That's just some of the few that I talk about.
Okay.
Let me see.
That makes a lot of sense.
Let me see. I also talk about the workplace. Because there's one in here. Let me see, where is it? Because when I first started working, when I got myself a real job, I had so many difficulties. I've gotten fired from jobs because I asked for a reasonable accommodation to take my medication, and I got fired because of it.
Oh, my God. Well, what about ADA? The American Disabilities Act.
I fought them. I went to the Mass Commission Against Discrimination, and I filed a lawsuit against them, and they just downright lied.
Wow. Okay, so wait a minute. For those of us who are listening, for those of out there that are listening, so you asked if you could take medication? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I asked for a specific, because I took my medication at a specific time of the day. The morning, afternoon, and in the evening time, that's when I usually worked at this place. And I put it in writing, and I said, I need to take a five-minute break, 5 minutes, to run upstairs to my locker, take my bottle of water out, take my pills, and come back down. It was denied.
Wow. How long ago was that, Jenna?
Oh, boy. This was 2001.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. Yeah, no, but what I'm thinking is the American Disabilities Act
was
out in 1978, so.
It was supposed to cover me, and it didn't.
Wow.
And because I didn't take the medication, I was getting frustrated. You know, I worked at a supermarket. And I had all these groceries coming down. I was getting frustrated, and the person at the cash register, was getting irritated at me because I wasn't doing fast, and I just blew up.
Wow.
Yep. And I ended up getting fired. I said, well, if you let me take my medication,
yeah,
I wouldn't have had these problems.
Well, let me ask you, were you a member of a union working at a supermarket?
No, it was only a part-time job.
Okay.
So
okay.
I wasn't qualified to be in the union.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. That's horrible.
Yep. But I'm glad it happened. You know, it taught me, you know, it taught me a lot, like, certain, like, I shouldn't, I don't know. It just irritates me to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I could have won that case, but I didn't go through with it. I just said, you know what, I get another job. You know, a week later, I ended up getting another job. So, that's
See, and sometimes it's better to do that, though. Sometimes it's better to just walk away from a situation. Yeah.
And just learn from it and just move on.
Right.
Because if you sit there and dwell on it,
No, it's not good.
It's not good. Some of them, in going back to my ebook, we talk about strategies for handling ADHD in the workplace, and I kind of talk about making a list, clearing your desk of clutter, breaking down tasks into chunks, and organizing distracting tasks. Because I had a client who, and that's kind of how that technique came about is I had a client who, whenever she got the little notification on that she got an email, she would always go to it. And she's like me. She gets tons of emails from all types of different people, from, like, organizations and, you know, just all different types. And she would hyper-focus and just lose track of time.
Right.
And she would have trouble transitioning back. So me and her sat down, and she's like, well, we'll just talk about some different techniques that she could try. And then she had her own aha moment. And I asked her what it was, and she's like, I can come up with a criteria. I said, okay, what would that criteria be? And she informed me that she will only answer emails during her work period from her boss and her work colleagues. That's the only ones that she will answer.
That was great.
She'll block out the other emails that she would get. And I said, okay, that sounds great. You want to try it for a week? She's like, yeah, because I met her on a weekly basis. And that next week that I met her, and I asked her how it went, and she said it worked wonderful for her.
Wow.
It saved her so much time. And then at the end of the day, you know, she took the last half hour, 15 minutes to check the other emails. So it worked out great for her.
I'm so happy about that.
Something simple is that.
Yep. And see, and what's really great about that, she came up with that. She figured that out.
Yep.
See, and that's why I'm just saying that we are really an elite population, because we have that creative mindset that comes up with ideas. One of the things I love about my group on Wednesday nights is all the creative ideas that everybody comes up with to help each other. It's just incredible. Yeah, because we're wonderful. So what else in your book?
Let's see. Slowing down the ADHD mind. Now, everybody, for me, I have the hyperactivity part of the ADHD. And one thing that we always do is we are so addicted to our electronics nowadays. Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, TVs, cell phones, everything. So I suggested that you turn off all electronics 2 hours before you go to bed. And
That's
the reason
great.
Being, this can, electronics can overstimulate our ADHD brain, and it'll make it difficult for us to go to sleep.
Yes, it does. It really does,
Another thing is because we always like to work, we always like to go out and work. Well, for me, anyways, I'm always working. And I suggested, as you take my own advice sometimes, is arrange a fun night out with friends and colleagues.
That's good.
Just go out and have fun.
Yeah, that's really good. You know,
to
get back to the electronics for a minute, too, one of the studies that I read about recently is the light in the back of the computer,
mm-hmm.
when we're looking at the screen, can actually trick our brain at night into thinking it's daytime.
Oh, really?
And that kind of screws up the circadian clock. So what you're telling them to do about shutting them off, like for 2 hours, is really important. Yeah.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, that's something else to think about, too, because one of the things in our population that I hear consistently is sleep issues.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with adults. I shouldn't even say especially with adults. These are children and adolescents, too. And a lot of it is the ruminations that they have,
yep.
you know. And so what I do for myself, because I don't take sleeping medication, I don't believe in it, is at night when I lay down, in the meditation process, if you breathe and in and out and you listen to your breath, your brain can't do more than one thing at a time. So if you're focusing on your breath, you will fall asleep. It works for me every night. And prior to that, I was up all the time. I had such a hard time falling asleep. Also, listening to meditation-type music,
mm-hmm.
You know, rain dropping, or there's a thing called soundscapes that, for those of you who are listening, or even for your clients, Jenna, that people can kind of go on the computer and look for it, or you can, they probably have apps for it. And those are the kind of music that I'm talking about, the meditation music.
Mm-hmm.
But the breath is a powerful thing. It really is.
Yeah. And another thing that a lot of people don't really address is dealing with social settings.
Yes.
And people and how people act in a social setting. So let me get to this page. Here it is. And a lot of people with ADHD can have a profound, like dealing with a social situation can be one of the most difficult things for a person
yes.
with ADHD to go through.
Yes.
However, there are different type of skills you can try. Is listen before speaking, before you join the conversation, pause, and make sure you understand what's going on, the discussion. So, and then also it gives you time to collect your thoughts, and then you can think about how you contribute to what the person says.
Right. Now, here's something else, too. One of the things I tell adults that I work with, and adolescents as well, is we have a problem sometimes waiting for the other person to finish because we're afraid we're going to forget what we're
mm-hmm.
going to say. Write it down and let the
yes.
other person finish. And then this way, you're not interrupting. We can do that
yep.
a lot. Yeah.
And I always say this, is try, and I say this a lot throughout this ebook, is try to stay positive.
Yeah.
No matter what, even when you're networking, just focus on your strengths and not your weaknesses, because
yeah.
if you only focus on your weaknesses, that could be a big turn off for people, and they'll be like, oh, I really don't want to talk to this person, and walk away.
Right, and change that word weaknesses to challenges,
yep.
because, you know, weakness sometimes can be perceived as a negative word. So, you know, finding a word like challenge, and also reframing statements. Like I do a lot of work with people when they'll say something that's negative, I'll say, okay, let's see how we can reframe that to make it a positive statement, which
mm-hmm.
really helps the mind get to that positive place. And mantras, you know, I wake up every morning and before my feet hit the floor, I choose happiness for the day. Well,
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, it's very difficult to be sad or negative when you've chosen happiness for the day. And happiness can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. You know, to
mm-hmm.
me, it means peace and serenity. But, you know, we wrote down one night a group like over 50 mantras. And I made,
mm-hmm.
you know, I typed them up and gave them out. And, you know, people really love them because now they're going around and they're using them. And they're realizing, it's like what you were saying before, that positive self-talk is the best thing that anybody can do for themselves. And that's what the mantras can do. You know, today I'm going to focus on this particular project that I have. Talk to yourself, you know, not while you're walking down the street, because, you know, people probably think you're crazy.
People look at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. But talking to yourself is a good thing, too. So what else in the book can you share with us?
And this is always a big one that comes up, is ADHD and money management.
Yes.
And I did this once. I call it the 30-day rule. When you're thinking about buying something you don't really need, wait for 30 days, then ask yourself, again, at the end of the 30 days, you still want to buy that.
I like that.
And you'll find that the urge or the impulse to buy this particular item has passed, and you just saved yourself, money just by waiting.
Wow. I like. See, that's a really good idea, because it's similar to something that I work with people on, and that's if you get a real difficult emotion that comes up about something that somebody said to you, wait a couple of days before you deal with it, and you'll see how that emotion comes down. Well, waiting to buy something for 30 days is a great idea, because in those 30 days, I think what you're really going to recognize is, I didn't need that. I don't need it. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think that's great. Anything else? We have about 4 minutes. I can't believe how fast this time has gone by. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Those are kind of my big ones.
Okay.
I do have one on procrastination, believe it or not.
Okay. Even though on the East Coast, I guess we don't have it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I know. I haven't really, like I said, I haven't come across anyone.
Oh, you will.
One of them is, I always like this one, is get someone to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
It is easy for a person with ADHD to feel alone with the problems. So when it comes to procrastination, there are people in your life who can help you. Maybe if you have a friend who also has problems with procrastination, and you two could check up on each other. When you have a task or project that needs to be completed, have that certain person check up on you in interviews and in intervals. So it's kind of a good way to end procrastination.
That's great. I like that.
Yep.
So you have somebody else that's holding you accountable.
Yep.
And so you broke it down, and you're saying to that person, hey, in the next 2 days, I'm going to get this much done of the project. Can you check in with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very good idea. Yep. And we talk about that. We've spoken about that in group and privately with clients about getting somebody, you know, to kind of hold them accountable. What I like, that's a great idea, and I also like, as we individuate and become emotional adults, that we hold ourselves accountable, too, as well. You know, and there's some people that really do need that other person, and I get that, but there are other people who can really do that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? We've got about 90 seconds left, so I think we're going to sign off, but I want to tell you how much I enjoyed having you on the show today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
It was
great.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm sure that everybody who was listening enjoyed all the tips that you had and to hear about your book. When can they buy your book? On the 18th?
On December 18th. I will send you, my website is www.neverdefeatedcoaching.com.
Okay, great. And if you send it to me, I'll post it on my Facebook page.
Yep.
Great. Thanks, Jenna.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a good Christmas and happy holidays.
You too.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.
So for those of you who are still listening, I want to thank everybody for the time you spent with me today and Jenna. I hope what we spoke about was helpful to all of you, not only for the holidays, but just in your ADHD lives, which I know in so many ways, if most of you have been following me for a long time, is truly a gift. Don't forget about my book, ADD Land, The Gift of ADD. And again, if any of you are in the Los Angeles area, please don't hesitate to show up at the group on Wednesday nights, 7:30 to 9. I want to thank everybody for listening. Next week, we're going to have a really, really good show. We're going to be talking about mindfulness, and it's with ADD Crusher. So please tune in next Sunday at 4 p.m. And again, everybody who's listening, please remember to use your mindfulness, stay in the moment, and the negative symptoms of ADHD, for you, you will start to become in control of them, which would be wonderful. Have a great night and a good week. I'll be back next week.